Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change here with Dr. Zara Larson. Again, thank you folks for joining us. Make sure to steal this information shamelessly to help your own career and also guide others with theirs. So with that, I have a real pleasure always to have as in-studio guest. I have with me Dr. Tom Bruner from here in Tucson. How are you today, Tom?
I am good. Thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure. And I have a hunch, folks, this is going to be more than a one-time session. The segment we've entitled is Giving Organizations the Best GPS to find better leaders. In other words, his comment of great people science. Dr. Tom Bruner is CEO of the Performance Ed Solutions, which is a corporate and family business consulting practice, as well as he's director of a nonprofit he founded called the Center for Character Strength Investment, CSI. There's that other acronym, which is a research center promoting positive character development. Tom is known for helping clients overcome the obstacles that block them from reaching their full potential via developing roadmaps to tackle truly the complex individual and organizational problems in a concise fashion. A native of Libertyville, Illinois, Tom grew up working road construction every summer and knows what a full day's work is all about. A certified clinical psychologist in private practice, he's guided clients to overcome mental health issues and to optimize their functioning and performance through the most advanced tools. Tom is a practitioner scholar, which is a professional who leveraged evidence-based back methods with very scientific background. He's also published and shared his knowledge and know-how with colleagues across the globe. Tom opens his practice also to undergraduate student interns and thus has a lifelong passion for mentoring young minds and watching youth grow. So listen for his use of the words moral resilience, virtuous character, and leadership effectiveness as he shares his business and personal story of change with us today. Again, congratulations. And mind you, you folks wouldn't know to see this because this is radio, but this individual is only 40 years old, if he would admit that to me. So his life experiences, you're sure to hear, to lend some credibility to his work at Performance Ed Solutions. So again, welcome.
Thank you.
Great. Well, I've got a question, a burning one, and that is, you know, here you are going through all the rigors and the years investment of being a clinical psychologist, and now you find yourself segueing from a practice in the counseling space to one that bridges over to both consulting and coaching. How did that come about? Was it a mindful decision, or did you bump into it, or were you pulled into it?
That's really a great question, and more and more business people came my way with clinical issues, and as I spoke to them, often one of their greatest stressors was their company.
Yeah,
and
right.
So we began to talk about what was going wrong with the company, and what I began realizing was companies were craving great people science, as I call it, as much as individuals have been over the years. And so I began realizing I could make a much greater impact if I applied the basic, deeply scientific skills that a psychologist has to companies and to organizations, and thus really have a much broader impact while I still enjoy working with people one-on-one clinically.
So it's this idea of getting scale and scope.
Definitely.
And the types of organizations you've then had an impact on, Tom, I get a sense, again, looking at your repertoire, I mean, everything from an energy-based company to a veterinary clinic. Maybe share a couple stories about what that journey has looked like for you.
Well, it's really been an exciting journey. I enjoy working with local companies as well as companies not based here in Tucson, but it's always about watching transformation and not just a one-off, as your earlier guest talked about, but sustainable, disciplined kinds of change is really what I'm focused on, meaningful change. And that really takes deep reflection, having time to scope out a plan and follow it. And what's interesting is often what's holding people back the most in business is not a technical issue, it's a personal issue. Yeah. And I think that companies are becoming acutely aware of that because they're starting to invest more and more in people who have a psychological scientific background, because those people can help them look at how do they get the edge in a level playing field. The level playing field is everyone has the same technology. So looking at leaders who have personal issues and solving those has been my gateway into the business world, because then we go into their business often and we then talk about change on a larger scale.
And in fact, it goes from that personal side to the interpersonal side to then the group dynamic of the bigger field of view. You had started to tell me, I know at one time, some work you had done with a restaurant owner. I think this would be a really good one to share, and then we'll touch into, because, you know, people probably might be pre-assuming that, oh, this is all about big companies that Tom works in. But I think, tell us that story about that restaurant owner.
Sure. This is a restaurant owner where she came to me originally. She's in her mid-40s, married, very delightful female, just so bubbly, so warm, the kind of person that if you're around them, they make you feel really good inside. We all have friends like that. Every one of you can think of someone like that. Well, she had disclosed in one of our early meetings that she'd been sexually abused across a couple of occasions. And so she really understood that she had a lot of generalized anxiety as well as problems affirming herself. She often would get very anxious in conflictual situations, which really is reminiscent of people who've been abused. They often have trouble really sort of advocating for themselves, mm-hmm. because they're worried there will be repercussions. So we began to work through that using evidence-based methods. Anxiety is one of the most treatable conditions in the world. Psychology is far advanced from the days of Freud. It is a serious psychological science. And we used those methods, and they helped her. And then what we realized along that path was her business was one of her greatest stressors. So after we worked through the incident, we also uncovered her business was as stress-inducing as that earlier personal experience. So,
in fact, she may have co-created it just because it wasn't something she knew what to look for. So,
well, right. And so we then talked about in the business she was running, how she could be firmer, more consistent,
right.
and yet not feel like she was being a witch with her employees. And that was hard for her, but she overcame that, and she developed a great culture of accountability, and her business is just taking off. And, you know, there's nothing better for me than to watch someone grow, and for even in a bigger scale, a business to grow in a meaningful way, a sustainable way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of hot things that go on in organizational development in the field you're talking about. Of course, this is the same space that I view. And I'd enjoy your perspectives on what you think is hot in the spaces that you serve and perhaps a little bit unconventional than what conventional wisdom might be pushing.
Okay. Well, I like always to push the envelope. I mean, I am a cyclist and I enjoy riding down mountains at high speeds. So I would say that on the cutting edge right now, Zara, if you really look at what's on the edge, you know, your last guest talked about 360. So let's really talk about the idea that all of us want to know as much as we can about those we work with, because we're with them all day long. In fact, we're at work more than we're with our spouse. So if we think about that, there's a trust factor. So the question really is, who really is this person? And when you're choosing a leader or a manager, you want to really know not just their character traits, which psychological measures can tell you about, or the Myers-Briggs or things like that. Those measures have their place, but really their character. And I think the cutting edge of 360s now is, really, how do we discover who that person really is
exactly.
at their core? I mean, look at Bernie Madoff. The guy ravaged, what, thousands of people, millions of dollars? People trusted him with their life savings. And so really no one got a real sense of who Bernie Madoff was. And companies are really wanting to know, who really is this person? Can they really lead the company?
Right. And so not that you can't find some of that out from a 360, but still that's all others' observations, even if you can triangulate it. So I think what you're saying is to step back, not unlike what we do with the system for identifying motivated abilities, but other instruments that and techniques that can bring to the fore that which shows up with us wherever we go.
Exactly. And I find that as a clinical psychologist, since I've worked with all kinds of people, including people who lie to me, you know, mm-hmm. on a daily basis, I do forensic work. You really begin to get a feel for how do you tell if someone's truthful, their character. And so you're right, Sarah. It's not about a measure. It's not about an out-of-the-box interview. It is about the integration, the thoughtful integration, to get a real feel for the tapestry of someone's personality.
You got it. You used earlier with your comment about the restaurant owner that she brought together the right things, starting first with herself, that allowed this accountability, this intentionality, people, as we would say on this show, counting on one another as well as counting on ourselves. I know in your repertoire you worked with a veterinary clinic and that you had some real eye-openers to help that particular clinic. Share that story.
I did. Well, you know, the owner loved the first talk I gave as a door opener, which was I really talked about how it's a hairy world out there. And they understood that because they're dealing with hair every day. So the idea was hairy meaning hairy personalities,
yeah,
right?
Complex,
we all have our hairs, and some of us sneeze at each other, and we have allergic reactions to certain kinds of other personalities. But really, this owner, again, was struggling with how do I manage a clinic? A very warm person, but really having trouble with how do I be firm? He'd kind of have a partner of his come in and sort of come down the mountain at times with the lightning bolts, and that just wasn't working. So what we discovered was not just how to be firm, but the fact that different people are motivated for different reasons. And so verbal praise for one employee made their day. For other people, it would be maybe they could leave a little bit early. Now, mind you need to be consistent with employees, but he learned as we got to know how he related to people that he could use his ability to relate to understand what really motivated them.
On and a very unique one-to-one.
That's right, and that turned the organization around.
Well, I think, and also you would say that had to be there first before he could ever launch another effort to shift the organization or grow the business, right?
Exactly. Because as we all know, people leave organizations. The key reason people leave an organization is a bad relationship with their supervisor. Right. That is the number one reason, not lack of money. And that's a myth out there that, well, we left because I wasn't getting paid enough. Money is not necessarily the main motivator for people.
And also, you know, like you said earlier, the idea that a reward from someone could actually put you back even further. I mean, I remember the days of, for me, the reward was always, could I give the presentation and tell the world what we were up to? No surprise, I ended up doing a radio show, right? But what I realized over the years is when I would gift that same opportunity to someone else, that if they went into finger freeze or lockdown, it was sort of like, oops, that was not the right place to go, because for them, giving the presentation was another tour, you know, in the hopper, not one that would bring out the best
exactly.
in them.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting where our conversation, I wanted our listeners to appreciate that Tom, who's built his coaching practice from first having started as a counselor, and you still embed some of that in you. We've had guests, of course, like the one right before that talked about making sure we watch that fine line between coaching and slipping into being a consultant, unless we, you know, clearly line it out. I know one thing for myself, since I do not have a counseling background, but I have the rich, you know, consulting, if not doing it background from having led organizations, is to be very careful not to go over that line, particularly the counseling one, because that has so much more far-reaching, difficult, the sustainable challenges for people it could play in. But the good news for you is you could go that way, or you can be mindful of it, you know. So in other words, when there's an engagement, do you feel that Tom the psychologist shows up in the door as well as Tom the coach and consultant?
That is a profound question, and one that psychologists discuss all the time. I think that, first of all, you never want to be in a dual relationship. You're either going to be a psychologist or a coach or a consultant, but be aware of your boundaries. And I'm very aware of my boundaries and pride myself on that. But I do think that what you need to do early on is be aware, are there clinically significant issues?
Yes,
if
sure.
there are, and you're doing coaching, those of you in the audience or consulting, you need to know the professional thing would be to refer someone for counseling or, you know, psychological help. But do not try and be their psychologist. I think there, since coaching is so unregulated, there are a lot of people who don't realize, no matter how what you call yourself, people will project onto you, healer. Not necessarily a consultant or coach. And so you are going to pull that projection, and you need to be very careful and be able to carry that but only carry the part of it that is conscious and explicit. If there's a part of them starting to talk to you about they were abused, like this restaurant owner, that's time to make a referral. And sometimes you need to end a relationship because you need to say there are, this is more emotion, this is more about clinical significant kinds of issues than about a coaching relationship. So for a lot of people, it's really a need to be very ethical and straightforward.
I also think, you know, your one comment about knowing your own boundaries, but to also be mindful that when we guide people as coaches or even counselors, is that truly to not bring yourself so much there. In other words, I often tell my clients if I feel I'm getting really wrapped into a subject too tight with them is, now remember, when anyone gives you advice, regardless of their best of intentions, they're really 50% talking to themselves. And so we have to be careful. In other words, they're going to project things that have helped them or maybe helped other clients successfully, and they pat themselves on the back. Or they're going to forewarn you that I feel miserably, which might, by the way, be exactly the path for the client. So indeed, one of the tips and tricks in identifying the right coach or the business consultant is those who can ask the right questions, right, and observe, as you have the pleasure of doing.
Exactly. I think being a great psychologist as well as being a great coach or consultant is being a professional listener.
Mm-hmm.
Really hearing the melody between the notes, really trying to hear what is at the core of what they're saying, but they may only be dancing around.
That's really true. You know, you've got a very unique approach with things, Tom, because I think the one side of it, of course, we haven't dwelt much on this, but your clinical work and your counseling work, also all the publishing and scientific work that you've done. I know anger is an area that you've had a lot of experience in from a research standpoint. Share with us that briefly.
Well, I worked with a guy named Charlie Spielberger during my PhD, and he's really a world-renowned psychologist, and he had done an adult measure of anger, and I really was interested in children and really classical training and developmental psychology. So I said, Charlie, we need to do a child measure. And he said, let's do it. And so it only took 5 years. So it's only a 5-year birthing process.
That's right. Instead of 9 months, right?
Got it. So it takes men longer than it does women to do
we'll
a lot of things.
We'll take that. Thank
right?
you very much. We appreciate
For you
that.
Women out
you
there.
Got that right, man.
Okay. So 5 years. And I really felt that anger was ignored. Anxiety and depression are all over the newspapers, as you all know. But who talks about anger? Well, if there's a shooting at a school, we talk about it, but it goes away. It's been right under our noses, but we haven't smelled it. And so this measure's taken off. It's being adapted into 4 languages, and it looks at the process of anger as it's experienced, then expressed, and then controlled or not controlled. And so it's really been an exciting use of my scientific background and really serving the community of people worldwide now who really say, hey, kids have a problem with anger. Let's better understand it.
Yeah. You know, there's an awful lot of challenges. Thus, you made reference. We hear about this in the media, anxiety, depression, maybe not anger to the fullest extent. You know, you face getting that headset mindset change in the whole health profession in general. Tell me about the kind of things you're trying to do to impact that on the scale that Tom Brunner and Performance Edge Solutions is trying to foster now to get scale and scope and impact of what you do.
Great question. Well, on the clinical end, I'll just say if someone ever says, so you're a shrink, I say, well, actually, no, I'm an expander.
Mm-hmm.
I don't shrink anyone, I expand them. On the business end, I think it's a careful dance. I certainly am not doctor, I'm just Tom Brunner. And I think that losing that immediately helps. But I think also talking to people in very basic language and yet showing them how good of a listener you are by picking out what is underneath everything they're saying really shows them this is a guy who can listen. And I think that is one of the trickiest things to do as a coach or consultant, is to really get the melody underneath all the notes. That is the sweet spot. And I think that psychologists have done a very poor job of climbing out of their academic cave or their little private practice world and really showing the world that there is really something amazing that this science can offer businesses and organizations, but they're starting to wake up to it.
Well, I think now, of course, you know, we talked in our first segment about productivity, the great speed up. But it's also about being able to sustain performance. And to be able to do that, then you have to have the kind of talent that's well matched to your business need, but also talent that's well and best fit to what the individual brings to the party.
Definitely. It's about best fit. And when someone says, what's the value? You know, what are you psychologists? What really can you do? Are you consultants? It's really about a greater degree of precision with goodness of fit. And I often say to them when they say, well, you know, what can you do? I say, well, how have your recent hires gone?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long for them to say, usually not well. What did you use to help you? Well, we have this interview that, you know, somebody in HR came up with. Well, you know, it's amazing just looking at what interview they use. I'm a believer an interview can often be your most valuable tool if you craft the right questions. Think about your best friends. They don't talk to you all the time. They ask you great questions, and they really make you feel like they are really listening and they're really getting in there, and they get you.
Right. So I would imagine, again, just given your own background as a psychologist, is using that element of, so tell me your story, as an invaluable way, as opposed to, could you describe the time that you were a project manager of XYZ?
Exactly, exactly. And there's a real dance you do between the art and science of interaction. And I find that the skills that I have as a psychologist allow me to do that dance where it's focused, it's bottom line, and yet it really gets in there. It's deep, and yet it's concise. It's comprehensive, and yet it's focused. And it's really hitting that sweet spot I enjoy the most, and I think that clients have really enjoyed the time.
Very good. We're speaking again to Tom Bruner, who's CEO of Performance Edge Solutions, which is a corporate and family business consulting company. Tom, you know, here at this juncture, you have shifted, as we said, to leverage your clinical psychology work, partnering it with knowledge of business, of businesses, a variety of assignments. Tell me at this phase of your career, then, how you think you're changing as you help others involved in the change process.
Well, we all have to become aware of our own interaction style. And I think that I've been humbled because I'm seeing there's such a variety of leadership styles. While I agree there's a group of traits that facilitate one becoming a leader, I'm open to the tremendous variety in which certain personalities can be leaders. And so I think as we progress in the history of leadership in the future, we're going to realize that certain traits really help leadership along, but there's also a great diversity, and we need to continue to appreciate that.
And that diversity can be tempo, pace, energy, as well as those that are more outspoken versus more those that are soft-spoken?
That's right. I think it's all about goodness of fit between the leader and the company or the culture that they're in. If you think about it, certain companies are going to need someone who's maybe a little bit harder on them, and they will do well. And other companies may need more of a host or more of a sort of egalitarian group type focus. And so by market sector, by culture, by region, we have to be sensitive to the environmental variables that really will help that leader hit the sweet spot.
And wouldn't you say also the context of where that organization is in their own evolution? So,
definitely.
For example, the kind of traits that we see in startup organizations, although there still is those common threads, and those ones that you would anchor with would be all in that area of moral resilience and virtuous character, and also in that whole effectiveness space.
I would say that. I'd say people could have an allergic reaction to hearing the word moral, but this is really just a broadly humanitarian idea. And having moral resilience really can mean being successful in the world of the free market. People may say, well, it's all about being cutthroat. But really what you find with successful leaders is there's a reputation, and you earn respect when you are known as a principled kind of leader.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, Tom Bruner from Performance Edge Solutions, thanks so much for joining us. Individuals interested in learning more about Tom, his office here in Tucson is 520-296-8572. And you can also go to www.drbruner.com and watch for the evolution of his site and also his work in the community. Tom, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. 544-2580.